Now, hold up. Why would I press the record button?
I don't know. Just seems like the thing to do.
I mean, it's there. I suppose I could press it. But, oh yeah, we're live, and I did press it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hit an Abyss. It's a homebrew 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign. And I have been naming all of the sessions for this particular arc of the campaign after Imagine Dragons songs. And every time I mentioned this, someone pointed out that at least the song that I chose wasn't Radioactive. And if I did pick Radioactive, things were going to go bad really, really quickly. So, naturally, tonight's episode 39 is entitled Radioactive.
We're all going to die.
I mean, quite possibly. There is an army of orcs that are out to get you.
This is a sign of a classic thing. It's called foreshadowing. So,
yes.
This is how you can tell your quality podcasts above the regular ones.
You heard it here. And tonight I am joined by a bunch of awesome people, as always. Tonight I am joined by Ellie and Eric and Ulfgar, also known as Matt, but he changed his name in Discord and now I can't wrap my head around it for some reason. It was never his real name, but I got used to translating the old username, and this is the second time I've done this. Cindy's hanging out with us as well. And what happened last time?
I wasn't here, guys. You guys are gonna have to pull
a goblin cook, aide, something, mascot. Not sure what he was. Had been accused of selling out the survivor camp to the orcish horde, and apparently he did some bad things in camp and ran away. And he stabbed the captain of their watch or guard. And we ran into some orcs in trees who were trying to shoot at us. We knocked them out of the trees, a couple of them at any rate, and did away with them pretty much. And we went back to camp, and that's where I'm lost. I forget what happened after we went back to camp.
I think that's where we ended.
Now, something happened at camp, I thought, but I don't remember what.
Well, something did in fact happen.
Okay.
There was a bit of back and forth. I'm going to leave a lot of this kind of hazy because if I try to put things into detail too much, I'm going to go back and listen to the previous episodes and go, oh, wait, that's a big plot hole. That doesn't work. How did they get from here to there? And who was phone? And, oh, none of this works out. Sorry?
Ellie pushed us into it.
Well, we can, in fact, blame Ellie if we want to, but I'm not going to right now. Because Ellie's playing Mazir, and Mazir is scary. Which I hope is valid. But in any case, so Onka was with this group last time, and that ended right when, and I didn't say it out loud, but it was Thava that showed up and helped finish off the fight.
Right.
With a crossbow bolt to the neck of an orc that was laughing at a wonderful joke. It was a great joke. It was knock, knock. Who's there? Tasha. Tasha who? Tasha's laughter. And that joke slayed him. Well, actually, the crossbow bolt slayed him. And the pseudo-dragon, familiar for Thava, also came and helped out by having an orc fall out of a tree after paralyzing it. But the other group got to interrogate this first orc because you all went back to camp except for Thava. Thava is still like, you don't see me, you don't hear me, I'm not really here. She doesn't want the monks and the friendly orcs and the bandits to know that she exists yet. That interrogation did not go so well. There was, in fact, a death by Toll the Dead. Paige rolled max damage for Toll the Dead for an orc that was already injured. So he sort of vibrated like a cartoon character inside a comically large Liberty Bell, and then blood came out of his ears and his eyes rolled back, but never mind about that. And then things happened in the last session. Go and listen to the last session if you so choose, if you are listening to this episode, because I just played it like half an hour ago. We finished. But the rest of you were kind of there for that, and then they went off looking for the goblin by doing some tracking, which we're not going to get into because the last episode was called I'm So Sorry, for very valid reasons. So when that group went off, the rest of you were kind of just like back at camp going, you know what? A long rest is sounding really good right now. Like really good. We keep being told, no, not yet. And we try to have a long rest, and then something happened, and we got woken up, and we didn't get our long rest. And I just want to go to sleep for 8 hours. Oh, my gosh, that's a mood.
Just on a side note, forgive me. Are we still at level 8?
Yes.
Okay.
If you're wondering if you're going to level up soon, imagine TM. If you will, a little TM trademark thing appearing after the word soon when I say soon. Soon you will level up.
When will then be now?
Soon. Because we're right at now. Everything we see here is happening now.
We're at that point in the movie where it is now.
Exactly. So while other people are dealing with things, you decide to deal with trying to make sure that your bedrolls do not, in fact, levitate off the ground and fly away. This has been known to happen if you do not lay down upon them and then close your eyes for a period of 8 hours. And then the alarms in the camp go off.
Oh, no.
And not there again. Is lots of screaming and scattering because there's a lot of yelling and large spiky things coming through the woods towards you. What would you like to do?
Look around and see what the pointy things are about.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, imagine if you will. You know how a tiefling is a human who looks very demonic because they've got horns and stuff and different colored skin. Imagine if you did that to an orc. And then gave them steroids. So
bad. Oh, this is very bad.
Yeah, but tieflings are very, very huggable, and orcs are not. They're very, very,
well, they got lots of...
very muscular. You know, not a lot of cushion there.
It's true. and they're coming right for us?
Well, there's a few of them that are running through the camp and swinging the very large great swords that they have with them at anyone who they get close enough to do that.
Oh my.
There's some regular sized orcs as well. There seem to be some of the things coming through camp appear to have lost a fight or two and then been reanimated to give them a second chance at fighting.
Oh.
Yeah, so okay. There's that.
I'm going to ready the shield to make sure I don't get beat up.
Okay. I think I'll armor up. We'll cast mage armor and let's see what's going on.
Okay. Give me insight checks.
Ooh. I'm actually good at that.
I see a nat 20 for Mazir.
17's not bad either.
No, not at all. Oh, Eric.
Quit looking at your shoes again.
So, Eric is ready to stand his ground.
The shield was in front of me. It's blocking my view.
No. The other left. Your other left.
Oh, okay.
Insight, well,
this isn't perception. This is insight. Perception, you see what's going down. Insight is interpreting what you see. And there's two main things that you notice. The first is that you are very much outnumbered. This is going to be a rout. And the other thing that you notice is it's going to be a rout because the majority of the people who were in this camp are already bugging out of here.
Shall we do the same and leave, or are we going to try?
I think it's probably best at this point. There's too many enemies in the field, too many places they can hide. I say it's time to pull up stakes and let's find someplace else safe.
And what do you think, Mazir?
I vote not dying.
Yeah, not dying is the whole key to living.
And this is the second camp that you've been at in close to as many nights. So it's not like that they had decided they're going to make their stand here anyway. So I'm going to say the most accurate skill check to do to see how well you can get out of here safely is stealth. It's not that you're actually trying to like hide in the shadows, more along the lines of in the ensuing chaos, try to be
avoiding.
Yeah. Try to stand out, capture. Not as much.
Yeah. No. You want the other dwarf.
With
you
this
don't need
massive
to run faster
armor.
Than the bear, just run faster than your friend who is also trying to run from the bear.
With this massive armor, I have rolled a 25.
And to be honest, Eric was the one I was worried about. And I see a 28 for Mazir and an 18 for Ulfgar. Okay, you're all doing pretty good. And I'm going to say that for the sake of a narrative, all three of you are running in mostly the same direction. So you know where each other is. You've lost sight of Bryn. The last time you lost sight of Bryn, she came back with a small collection of loyal gnolls that would defend her to the death. So you might be worried about her, but not worried about her physical health.
She's a charmer. She'll find her way out.
Something tells me it should be better off than we will.
Does Ulfgar have inspiration? Because I just love the double meaning of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do not. I did not have inspiration. I have checked it off.
Well, you are wrong, sir, because you have inspiration now.
Yay.
Okay. So you go off into the woods and give me a survival check.
We get all of us?
Well, I will allow one of you to roll with advantage if the rest of you are helping each other out.
I have a plus four. Help.
I have a plus five.
Let the dwarf lead.
this is not going to go well.
It's all fine. Right. He's lower to the ground so he can see better.
That sounds... All right. I don't remember how to do rolling with advantage. Roll
I
one.
Just typed the code twice, to be honest. Ellie's the one that knows all this.
Okay. I'll do it that way. All right. We'll take the 16.
There we go.
Well, with your plus five, that's a 21. Yeah. So, yes, you're doing incredibly well at not getting lost. You know exactly where you are. And where you are is on top of a small hill. It's a good defensible location.
All right. Seems fair. Ulfgar is a former soldier. That might be a place where he would seek out.
Yeah.
Take the high ground because, you know, one of the old sergeants, Wandiobi, too, had said at one point, always seek out the high ground.
Don't make me take away your inspiration. I mean,
well,
I'm
glad you figured out where you are, because I thought we just ran by the same tree three times.
Well, see, that's to confuse the enemy. So, all right, we're on top of a small hill. What do we see?
And it's there's still lots of trees everywhere, so some of the view is obstructed. But this hill seems like a good place to make a stand. In part because it is the high ground, in part because there's some rocks in various locations that look like they would be good spots to take cover if something large is being thrown your way. And also because going off in that direction, that's a lot of orcs in that direction, so you don't want to go that way. But if you go this direction, there's a lot of orcs in that direction, too. So how about this? That's ogres.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. They appear to be dead ogres, so there's that. Okay. All right, so you seem to have a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Well, my friends, if we go down, we go down fighting.
There is that. But I'm still on the no dying plan.
Okay.
Let's see where else. Wait, the ogres they are dead, they're not still moving, are they?
Oh, yeah, they're moving.
Yeah, okay. So they're formerly dead ogres.
I'm not going to require a perception check to notice that there are undead scattered amongst the ranks in all directions. They're sort of mixed in. There seems to be more in the front than in the back because, you know, they don't care if the dead get killed because they're, you know, already. So they make good cannon fodder. And they're approaching more slowly. There don't seem to be any Tana Rooks in this particular group or groups. If there were, you get a sense from what you saw previously, like they would just be running forward and slashing. They're not big on the caution side.
Swing the sword. If it hits something, they're happy.
Yes. And if you set them on fire, that just makes them angrier. Mazirin is all about that.
Yep.
Yes. So there's a few that are slowly approaching in each direction. And one of the ogres, apparently an ogre zombie, steps forward very quickly, but then turns around and faces the army of orcs and says, excuse me, I would just like a moment of your time. I am looking for a particular halfling. You might have seen her. She's about, yay high, and is incredibly terrifying when she wants to be. Doesn't seem to ever be carrying a weapon, but that doesn't stop people from running in fear whenever she puts her mind to it. Has any of you seen her? I've been looking for, and then a javelin flies through the air, goes through the ogre's head, and it sort of just falls to the ground dead again. And
I was not expecting that.
No.
One of the orc zombies steps forward and comes over and stands on top of the dead ogre zombie, that's very redundant, and says, okay, so that was very rude, but Just saying, I found out only recently that my former apprentice is still alive, and she has this knack, this ability somehow, possibly magical item she picked up somewhere, that prevents me from scrying her personally. So I know she's in the area, but I can't actually find her. Would any of you be able to point me in the... And then, like, 50 arrows fly through the air, kill this zombie.
Okay, important safety tip. Do we know Bryn's history about her and her master?
Yes. The party has met up with Celan. Turned out he wasn't really trying to be a bad guy, but he is a necromancer, and he makes do with the tools he has at his disposal.
He wasn't trying not to be a bad guy.
So, obviously, that is Celan looking for Bryn.
Yes.
The question is whether or not we try to seek him out, knowing that we will probably locate Bryn, or she will locate us inevitably, or do we let him go on his own?
He didn't seem like a particularly bad sort.
Okay.
I have no idea why. A player has missed too many sessions,
so I'm not sure.
a third corpse steps forward and with the same voice says, "Okay, I see we got off on a bad start. I understand. You're very angry. I'm fabulous. I know. But seriously, you're probably wondering, who is this person that keeps possessing your undead army and keeps asking you questions?" That is a very good question. That is a wonderful question.
How far away is he from us?
He's about 50 feet away.
Okay.
50.
50.
50.
But that is the wrong question.
Yeah.
You see. Go ahead and talk, but he's still monologuing while you're saying that.
Yeah. I want to move a little closer to him, the current corpse he has animated or is speaking through. And then I want to cast a spell so that corpse cannot be... I'm going to cast Resilient Sphere around it so that we can perhaps keep it from dying or at least getting attacked.
Okay.
And perhaps roll the spear back towards us. And let's see, can I move it as an action? Oh, the enclosed creature can push it. Okay, great. All right.
You're putting him in a hamster ball.
Yes, I'm putting him in an indestructible hamster ball.
Nice.
Assuming it's indestructible? Yeah. A sphere of shimmering force encloses a creature or object of large size or smaller within range. I have to get within 30 feet. An unwilling creature must make a dex saving throw. So he may or may not be willing or unwilling. No physical objects, energy, or other spell effects can pass through the barrier, in or out, although the creature may breathe while in there. The spear is immune to all damage, and a creature object inside cannot be damaged by attacks or effects originating from outside the sphere, nor can a creature inside the sphere damage anything outside the sphere. The sphere is weightless and just large enough to enclose the creature or object inside. An enclosed creature can use its action to push against the sphere's walls, and then roll the sphere at approximately half the creature's walking speed. The globe can be picked up and moved by other creatures.
Okay, that last line made me think of multiple hilarious situations.
Oh, yeah. This is if you really need to save something or protect something, this is great, except it is speedball, bouncing here and there, being picked up and moved. You can move it yourself a little bit. It is a giant hamster ball.
Yep.
I am 100% here for this content. And I love this game so much.
So Ulfgar is figuring, if he keeps getting killed and keeps changing bodies, at least maybe we can stop this one from getting killed again, and he can keep talking, or at least we can bring him back towards us. So he will cast the spell. I don't know. If he has to save, he has to save. If it fails, we try a different tactic. I don't know if he may not recognize me as friendly. I'll be within 30 feet, and I need a clear line of sight. So he may recognize me doing this spell. He's a powerful enough necromancer. He may even hopefully gather an insight check to realize I'm trying to save the body with this spell. So,
well, I may have rolled a few things while you were talking, so yes.
That's okay.
There are things that can happen. So he has been monologuing on. You've missed a few of the things he was talking about.
That's okay. So I'm also trying to protect my butt.
Oh, yeah. Now, the other two people who happen to be on this hill... heard him continue to say, you might be wondering this. Well, that's the wrong question. You might be wondering this. Well, the answer is such and such. But again, the wrong question. Really, the question that you should be asking is, how did he know that his former apprentice was in the vicinity if he can't scry her? Well, a fascinating story that I'd love to get into. And the shimmering sphere just has arrows and javelins and a few rocks just bouncing off of it as he's talking. He is not even pausing in his discussion.
Perfect.
Yes, it is a joy to watch. A fascinating thing. See, apparently one of her friends instructed her to send some messages and whisper down the alley type thing. A bunch of us found out that friends and family were still alive and breathing when we thought they died 5 years ago. We were overjoyed and we thought maybe there'd be some way for us to help. And
I hate to interrupt, but that spell only lasts a minute.
Not now. I'm monologuing. And I thought, what better opportunity for me to use my talents and abilities and massive intellect and humility, oh, so much humility, to stall for time.
And sure enough, he did.
And he points one finger to the air right as the sphere goes away.
Okay.
And shoots a firebolt straight up.
Elfgar's going to make his way back up the hill.
When he shoots the firebolt straight up, a large percentage of the undead that are surrounding you along with the orcs immediately turn on the orcs.
Immediately turn on the what?
On the orcs.
Ah.
So it's a Night of the Living Dead situation.
Well, advantages, I guess, to having someone who can control the undead.
Yes. Now, the undead are still severely outnumbered. So the army is getting a little depleted, but not so much that you can just hang out here and do nothing.
Well, we can leave.
So I was at this point, everyone roll for initiative. And I'm going to do combat just a little bit differently tonight because of something that I'm going to be revealing shortly.
Oh, did you say roll for initiative? I didn't hear the initiative part.
So yep. Mazir got a 22.
I had a leading zero, but it still rolled the right die.
Okay. And Ulfgar got a 13. And Eric got a 10. Mazir, since you're going first, I will let you know what's happening for you first.
Okay.
So during the monologue, you became aware that you were not alone on the top of this hill, but mostly it wasn't something where you had to ready your sword made of pure shadow that you'd stab through the heart of anything that opposed you. No, Ansel's hanging out there.
Oh.
Hi. You seem to have brought an army.
Yeah, that wasn't my intent.
It's okay. But we do have a way of resolving this, you know.
Well, I am entirely composed of ears.
Ah, well, you see, I didn't bring an army with me. I'm sorry. Most of my troops are currently involved in, one, protecting Bardia. You know, it's my home. It's where I grew up. So that's kind of important. I've moved a large number of them to Sandstone because the Kraken thing that you've been dealing with really wants to destroy Sandstone. So I had to build up the troops there because of a few things that you did. So thank you for that. But the thing is, I am the first druid of Bardia, and we're in the middle of a forest. So I've got an army. And a bunch of the trees around you uproot themselves and start moving towards the
woods.
Next up, wow. Ulfgar. I'm revealing things in the order that you roll initiative, but then we're going to move into actually making choices things. So don't think that I'm trying to skip you.
Nope.
Because I don't want people waiting. So you're going to wait anyway. I mean...
Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
As you're sneaking back up the hill, one of the trees that is not yet uprooting has an elf walk out from behind it.
Oh, hello.
You know her.
Yay!
Asteri.
Hey, how you doing? How did you get here?
Oh, well, funny you should mention
that. We're a long way
that.
Away from where we...
Yes, certainly. Well, you do know I was put in charge of the teleportation circle that's in Bardia, which is why I did to hang out with Ansel, and some sending spells were sent to him. I have kept in touch with a lot of my former professors are former professors at the Academy.
Yes. And, it ran through some rough times recently, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, well, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for keeping in touch. But there,
I was out of the, I was in the astral plane and kind of lost for a little while.
Feywild, but yes.
Feywild. Close enough for government work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, funny thing is, when you save them from an invasion of devils and keep them from getting pulled into the nine hells, they stay grateful. And at that moment, a bunch of spellcasters have their invisibility spells wear off because each of them casts fireball at the same time.
Yes! Go get them, boys!
So we have a squishy druid and some very squishy wizards. And we have Eric.
Who is not squishy.
No, Eric is not very squishy. But he is also, while he's very good at holding the line, he is not very good as a line. He's more of a point.
No.
Yes. So while all this is going on, I'm assuming you've got your shield raised and ready.
Oh, it's ready to go.
Okay. And a shield shows up next to yours.
Whoa, very shiny.
Well, it better be shiny. I spent an hour and a half polishing it for this. That was Jason.
Whoa!
And on the other side of you...
What are you doing here, brother?
Saving your sorry ass. And next, on the other side of you, there's your dad.
What?
And a bunch more of the Royal Guard of Plantain are forming a shield wall to protect all the squishies.
Very nice.
Oh, we are going to have some fun tonight.
Apparently, Ansel made a few sending spells. So here's how we're going to resolve this. We are going to be stepping a little bit away from some of the D&D rules and moving into other territory, because we're going to have these three forces that have joined you, each of them tailored a bit towards your character's backstories, actually deal towards each of the dooms for your characters that the party has already resolved. Granted, Mazir's doom was pretty much just, hey, you're engaged.
Oh, I was figuring my doom hadn't actually come up yet.
Well,
that could be a fate worse than death.
Yeah.
You dealt with it very quickly, which was good, but I will say that if you had chosen to go to Plantain first, you would have prevented Volcano from erupting.
Mm.
Yes. So there was that. And if you hadn't dealt with it immediately, something else might have happened back where Mazir's from. But that's something that you'll never know, will you? So here's how we're going to do this. You are going to tell me not what your character is doing specifically. Yes, that too. But what you'd like this group of forces that's allied with your character to do. And I'm going to have you do a roll for that and then give you the results. And we are going to tie this into... Where are my notes for this? We're going to tie this a bit into some alternative rules from Fate, which is a fun RPG that I haven't had as much time to play with as I'd like. And you're going to be rolling 2d6 and adding whatever number I decide you can add to it based on your character's abilities. And rather than giving the opponents a separate turn, they act in response to whatever you're doing.
Mm, I see. Okay.
Okay. So we're going to start off with Mazir. You have a bunch of trees at your disposal, and also a very powerful druid, and also yourself. How would you like to deal with this orc menace?
I would like the trees to focus on the spiky orcs, because I've got a personal grudge against them.
Okay. I will say that you haven't seen any of them right away, but some of the trees might be noticing them further in the back, trying to work their way forward, so that is definitely a thing that can be happening.
Well, then let's, if spiky orcs, then deal with ogres.
Okay, so they're going after the big things. I'm going to say if they're going after ogres, you're going to roll 2d6 and add, well, you're fighting with trees, so add your nature.
Okay,
a 10 is a solid success. You know, I should probably copy-paste this so you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so that's basically what we're going with. So a 2-6 is a failure. You don't get what you want, and bad things are going to happen to you. 7-9 is a mixed success, so you do some good things and some bad things happen to you. And 10 or more, you are doing incredibly good and you get exactly what you want. So the trees focus on the orcs. The orcs are thoroughly engaged with the trees. They have not set a date, and they are basically getting their heads knocked off. They're getting torn apart, and you've never seen... Well, you said you were focused on the ogres, right?
Ogres, yeah.
Yeah. You've never seen an ogre fly before, but apparently they are useful as ammunition for trees that have decided to become catapults.
One of them's got a little black feather in his hand.
And there's splat sounds. So that's fantastic. There are many fewer ogres in combat than there were before. Ulfgar, you have an army of wizards at your disposal. What would you like to do?
Yes, we do. All right. Our opponents are the orcs, the undead, and the Tanaruk.
Well, the undead seem to have been...
turned.
Yeah, turned changed. By a necromancer of considerable ability. And if Io was able to be here tonight...
So there,
they'd be the one saying what to do for that.
Gotcha. So I don't have to worry about the undead. What do I know about Tanaruks?
They are orcs with fiendish blood in their veins. They are almost as dangerous to orc clans that let them grow up as they are to all the opponents of the orc clans.
Okay. So are they any... Are they especially resistant or... I don't want to. Are they native born or are they summoned? Like, are they demons that we can dismiss or dispel or send back home? Or are they more like orc things that are just demonic blood that they live here? I can't send them to another
history
place.
Check.
Like, history check. Okay. I'm actually good on history check.
And I will tell you the same thing that I told Mazir. You don't see a lot of Tanaruks right now.
Right.
So it's possible that they're not just in this area.
19 on history.
Okay. So Tanaruks are. They're born in the material plane. There is a ritual that is used to create them while they're still in utero.
Young. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And then they're raised.
So,
but if they manage to have kids, then those kids, some of them further down the bloodline, might be born as Tanaruk. Some won't be.
Gotcha.
They're usually killed upon birth because no clan wants to raise a Tanaruk.
Right. Okay. They're demonic orcs born here, so, and there's not many, right? So we want to, they're not a major threat at this point. The undead are being turned around. The ogres are being handled by the trees. What's left?
Well, there's a lot of regular orcs.
Okay, then we'll go after those. I'm not fond of those anyway.
Okay, so what are you going to do for that? The opening salvo was fireballs, which was great, but now it's very mixed in the battlefield.
Well, so Ulfgar is more defensive-minded. So, but we already have our meat shield. I mean, our shield wall up front.
whoa. I take offense to that, man.
And before anyone says anything, I should have said this at the beginning, Eric is Puerto Rican. He's allowed to use that accent because he's Puerto Rican.
So, actually, then what he's going to want to focus on, since he's more defensive, he is going to try to organize the wizards to use conjuration and, if possible, teleportation, which is still conjuration, getting more of the survivors out of trouble. We want to keep them moving, keep them either hasted or possibly then slow the bad guys trying to use teleportation either through Misty Step or Dimension Door, fourth level spells and lower, which hopefully most of us have, which Ulfgar has, and hopefully at least some of the cadre here have, and getting as many of the survivors away from the enemy as quickly as possible. The opening salvo is great. The trees taking care of the other ogres, they're the biggest threat. So let's keep our guys on the move.
That is an excellent point, because you aren't the only ones that were in that camp that went scattering.
Right.
So where's the rest of them? Well, as luck would have it.
We'll use diviners to locate them. We'll use the abjurers to protect them. We'll use the conjurers to get them as far away from the battle scene as possible.
Okay, let's see how good your force is at doing that. So give me 2d6 and add your arcana.
Okay, roll 2d6 plus... Forgot the word roll. It would help. 15.
Okay, I'm going to have to increase the difficulties for this because fate doesn't have you get huge bonuses.
Yeah.
But okay, so 15 is a solid success. So this is exactly what's happening, and this is the last time I'm having numbers be this low. Well, I'll give Eric one shot too. But then I'm going to raise the stakes, so to speak, because this is this feels very easy for this opening salvo. So you start moving off this hill, which seemed very defensible. It was a nice hill. It's like when you wake up in the morning on a very cold day and you're so comfortable in that bed. You just don't want to get out of it.
Don't want to get out of bed.
But you know, at the same time, you know, at the same time, if you don't, your bladder will have a disagreement with you.
Yes. Silly bladder.
Yes. And this is the second session in a row where I've had to talk about bladders, but let's not talk about that anymore. So you as a group start moving off the hill in a direction where the diviners in your cadre have decided, hey, okay, we got more survivors in this direction, so let's go this way. Eric.
Okay, so because we want to protect the squishies, there is a formation that we do, since we're mostly, besides Jason, Jason's the only one that even though he does have a shield, he is a two-handed fighter. So what we do is we kind of maneuver the shields. Well, we'll cut off rushing, attacking. I'm assuming there's orcs coming up to kind of try and get the squishies.
Okay. Give me
is
a
there?
Roll.
I don't know. Are they just standing there?
Well, the squishies aren't just standing there. They're saying, hey, the survivor's this way, and they're trying to go that way.
Right.
Okay,
they're trying to move in.
So we're trying to stay in between them. But what we're doing is we're taking our shields and we're taking specific points and we're cutting them off. So like we'll let some of them come in and then we'll close the gap with our shields. And then the other fighters will take care of those other fighters while the people that are blocking are fighting with swords.
Okay.
And then we keep on doing that.
Okay. Give me 2d6 and add your strength.
Is it possible for Eric to get a failure?
We're talking about here.
hold on. Your strength bonus is plus 9?
Yes.
Or
I forgot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What?
Yeah.
No. Did you add athletics?
Athletics?
It's because I specifically said strength.
Oh, you know what you did? I think you did a strength saving throw.
Saving throw, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's 4, so it'd be 7.
Yeah. Okay. So a 7. Ugh. Okay. So a 7 is a mixed / minimal success. So success with complications. You are able to protect the squishies.
That's what's important.
Okay.
We can take some damage, but that's okay.
But I am going to say that the defenders are also going to take some damage. And you personally...
Okay.
Hello.
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 So the convention game I was trying to go to was full because all the tickets were already taken because the con decided to, for some incomprehensible reason, set all the tickets out at once. There are games for tomorrow that have all their tickets taken.
Oh, wow. So, Eric, you take 15
yes.
points of damage personally.
Okay.
And there's a few in the guard that do go down. Your brother and dad are still up and kicking. In some cases, in some particular instances, quite literally. Io, would you like to join with Bryn?
I would.
Wonderful. Give me initiative roll, if possible.
All right.
If you are unable to, because I think you're on a phone, then we can roll for
you. Don't worry, I can switch between Safari and the, what's it, Discord, that's the word. Though I probably shouldn't sit in a bathtub. Why am I in this room?
The acoustics?
Oh, excellent.
Okay, a 23. Well, you're going to go next because you rolled higher than Mazir.
Yeah, that's impressive.
You win, Bryn. Hey!
The cavalry has arrived.
Oh, it not literally, but close enough to it. Now, Bryn, you
yes.
ran off in a slightly different direction.
I mean, to be fair, I don't have dark vision.
Yes. So you find yourself alone in the woods. Which,
I'm not alone. I have Chip.
Well, this is true. And you also know that you're not technically alone in the woods because it's filled with orcs. You did see a few Tanaruk yeah. running through the camp as well, and a few ogres. So probably you being alone in the woods with Chip is a beneficial situation as opposed to a possible alternative.
Yeah.
Okay. And you hear the thudding of feet coming towards you.
I'm going to try to get down real close to the ground somewhere and hide. That's not really much further down than I usually am.
I mean, you are a halfling, yes. But give me a stealth check then.
Yeah. Let's see. My stealth is +3. And I have to sit down because I've been up and down so many elevators, it feels like the floor is going up and down and up and down under me. That's a 13.
Okay. So as you are crouching down and trying to become one with the forest floor, it becomes clear that whatever is crunching its way through the forest, and you can definitely hear it because all the detritus that you normally see on the floor of a forest, it's hard to walk through that quietly, actually changes directions and starts heading right towards you. Your empty cloak immediately flies off of you and positions itself between you and whatever's coming towards you, with its sleeves raised, ready to fight. And
oh, no.
The shape of an ogre comes into view. There is a moon tonight, so you can see just a little bit. You can tell it's incredibly large. There is a putrid smell as it comes up to you. And then you hear, Bryn! Bryn, is it you? I have been looking for you ever since I found out you were still alive. I have been worried sick. Where have you been, young lady?
Ceylon?
Yes, I am. You recognize me. Oh, wonderful. It warms my cold. Well, okay, so this body, very cold heart. I am going to have to teach you how to possess undead sometime. The Feywild. Yes, I remember being told something about that by Ansel. You sent Ascending to Ansel? Recently, he got in touch with the rest of us, and we sort of did a phone tree. There's no such thing as phones in this universe, but pretend that I know what that is. And, well, we all decided, why not try to help out? You are really hard to track down. It is almost impossible to find you.
I should probably take off that amulet occasionally.
Oh, it's an... yeah, that makes perfect sense. In any case, we found a lot of your friends. I got to give a wonderful monologue. It's a shame you weren't there to hear it. But they are in a bit of a bind, and it would probably be good if we went and helped them out. What do you say?
Yes, of course.
Okay,
I'm glad you found them.
Well, it wasn't too hard. They were on the hills surrounded by orcs.
Oh, no.
Yes. But that's okay, because the orcs had a lot of undead with them.
Ah.
Yes.
Ordinarily, that's a bad thing, but hey.
Yes. I may have introduced them to the concept of conscription.
That seems fair.
Indeed. Okay, so here's what we're doing. I'm kind of shoehorning fate rules in. So, the situation right now is you and this particular... ogre zombie, who is not the only zombie that's being controlled by Ceylon right now, are over to the side somewhat. The rest of the party is surrounded by this army of orcs, which is currently being besieged by zombies within its own ranks, and trees that Ansel has animated, or awoken is the term he will use, and the party has a protective shield wall around them of Plantain Royal Guard, as they're trying to head towards survivors so that they're within range of whatever spells that the wizards can use to get survivors out. I am giving you control of the zombies. What would you like the zombies to do?
So, I'm currently off towards the side.
Yeah, a matter of fact, where you are, they haven't really realized you were there.
Interesting. So, the zombies are scattered all throughout the enemy forces?
There's more concentrations in some spots than others because some spots had more powerful orcs and ogres than others. So in some cases, the zombies were made very short work of. But yes, there's a bunch of them scattered throughout.
All right.
There's more closer to the party than away from the party because they were going to use the zombies as cannon fodder.
Sorry. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I threw a lot of stuff at you. I understand. I have to say that I am impressed with the audio quality from EO's phone right now. This is much better than I usually hear when someone's on their phone with Discord.
My headphones have a built-in mic.
Ah, okay. So it's not the phone mic. I gotcha.
So the main... All right. Am I aware that they're directing where we're trying to rescue people?
So I will say that for the sake of simplicity, because you're controlling... Basically, you're in charge of Celan right now and all the things he does. So anything that Bryn would need to know, she would be able to ask Celan and Celan would tell her.
All right. If there are zombies intermixed with the enemy forces, then that can... Then they can start maybe trying to... by, you know, zombieing their way through things, clear a path a bit.
Okay.
If people are trying to get to survivors.
Okay. That makes total sense. So the zombies start trying to move towards a direction where they'd be more effective at clearing said path as opposed to just zombie here in middle, zombie strike at everything in range. Brains. So go ahead and give me 2d6 and add, to be quite honest for this, I'm going to say strength.
My strength or yes. The strength of, okay.
Which I can look that up if you need me to.
Nope, I know what it is.
Okay, so with a 7, that is a mixed success. The zombies are definitely helping to make the resistance not as strong in the direction that the wizard is saying that everyone should go in. But in the process, you are losing a lot of your troops. So all of the ones that were in the other directions are pretty much getting destroyed completely as they try to... The word I want to use is congeal in a particular direction. With zombies, I think that is an appropriate word to use.
Yeah.
So you're losing a lot of your forces, and I will take note of that, but you are definitely helping. Now, I will say that even though Bryn just got here, we have been playing for about an hour, and I need to take a very short break. So would it be okay if we came back in a minute or two?
Yeah.
I'm good.
I need to get out of this city anyway.
Okay. Well, I'm going to press some buttons, and we can deal with what we need to deal with. And we're back, and I'm hopefully not muted.
Woo!
Okay. And Mazir's up. What do the trees do?
Okay. About half of them are going to focus on the... keep focusing on the ogres. No, most of them are going to keep focusing on the ogres. About 10% are going to reinforce the friendly undead, and about 10% are going to fall back and help Eric's... fall back behind Eric's line and help hold that line.
Okay. They're
not going to be part of the line. They're going to be behind the line using his tactic to beat up anybody who gets sent through.
Okay. And I think the solution I found is instead of having you roll skill checks, because you have insane bonuses for these things, because, you know, proficiency is a thing, just going with ability score modifiers. So rather than having you roll nature, which is quite high, I'm going to say roll 2d6 plus your intelligence.
Okay.
Since nature's an intelligence skill anyway.
And that's still a 12.
Still a 12. So that is a huge success. So you manage to have the trees do exactly what you want them to do. The undead are dying again in fewer numbers, and you are bolstering Eric's ranks. So what I'm going to say is with the 12, I will allow you to offer a plus one to either... the undead or the trees to help them out on their next roll.
I'm going to go the undead or the plant
or the trees. The trees are yours.
The plants
are
yours.
I will allow you to offer a plus one to another party member for their roll because of how good the trees are doing.
I'm going to go with Eric for right now.
Okay. Right. So next up is Ulfgar and the wizards.
Okay. We are we're still going to focus on rounding up the survivors, getting them out of Dodge. I think we need to set the evokers on working to thin out the orc population, and we'll set them up to be working with the Eric shield line, basically using them we're going to use the evokers to set up right behind Eric's shield line, or be with Eric's team, and focus on getting the orcs thinned out, the ranks thinned out. We'll keep the rest of the group basically focused on getting the survivors out of Dodge. I have jurors protecting and conjurers trying to teleport or Misty Step, getting them out of this area.
Okay. So give me a 2d6 plus your intelligence. Okay.
Total
of
9.
9 is a mixed / minimal success. So unfortunately, in the process of moving some people over to help bolster the plantain forces, you point out that you are, in fact, the people who stand in the back and wiggle your fingers and bad things happen to your opponents. So you start taking a few hits from that. And because there are ranged weapons that the enemy forces have available to them, and they are not the same as MMO monsters where you can have the fighter go, "Hey, hit me," and then they all attack the fighter instead of the spellcaster in the back. So you are going, you personally, in addition to what's happening with your forces, are going to take 13 points of damage.
Okay. Marked off.
Okay. And I am also keeping track of damage being done to the opposing forces. So there is a set amount of successes that need to occur for the battle to be won. I'm not just making things up. I made things up, and now I'm sticking with what I made up.
I have done this on occasion.
Which, I suppose, is the definition of every RPG ever.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I need something that works. Hey, this works.
Okay. Eric.
We will continue the strategy we're using, except on this this particular round, we're going to be using a branding smite to the main to see if we can get some advantages on attacks from other people.
Ooh, this sounds interesting. Okay, so
lots of shininess. We are all
okay. So because you are invoking a paladin-like ability, I'm going to say give me 2d6 plus charisma.
Okay.
A 13.
Very nice.
That is a solid success. And
yes,
you didn't even really need the plus one that was handed to you from Mazir's awesome ability.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yep, okay, I'm going to mark off how awesome you are being towards the damage of... So basically, all these orcs are rushing forward and they are breaking themselves upon your body. To quote a particularly not appreciated boss fight that's in World of Warcraft. But yeah, it's pretty epic looking where they're running forward and just like bouncing off your shields as you're smiting them left and right. And your brother seems to be really enjoying himself. Your dad is being very stoic and just getting the job done.
As he is. Calling out ranks, making people sure people where they are. That's it.
Yeah, your brother is laughing a bit. Maybe more than a bit. Maybe slightly unhinged.
Yes.
And I will allow you to give a plus one to another party member.
Let's go ahead and give that to Bryn.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm going to change up what happens when you roll 12 or higher to give you more options. So, Bryn, you are up.
I'm up?
You're up.
All right. I've lost a bunch of the zombies, but people are coming to their aid, basically. And there are archers attacking the wizards. Are the archers grouped together, or are they just all over?
They're all over. And, oh, by the way, as this battle is rolling, it's rolling in your general direction. The Seelan ogre that's next to you is getting a little nervous.
Well, if the battle's rolling in my general direction, I know I promised I wouldn't be doing this, but...
That's how it starts.
I promised I wouldn't buy that tub of chocolate chip cookies when I went grocery shopping.
But I think it would be really helpful if the orcs that are near us were maybe not on the opposing side anymore. So let's maybe continue to introduce the concept of conscription.
Bryn?
Yes?
Bryn, what are you doing? Bryn, we talked about this.
I know we talked about this. They are coming towards us with lots of stabby pointy things. And I only have one small squishy body.
Technically you've got two because I'm here and I'm a lot larger than you. Well, right now, anyway.
Yes, but you can get another one and I can't.
Which is why you should run and I buy you time.
I mean, that's fair.
I don't think Bryn's made that way.
Yeah, Bryn doesn't run. Bryn makes other things run.
I mean, that's canon.
So you're moiling some orcs that are coming near us.
You are
using the body of orcs that are coming near us to replace your depleted.
I'm going to attempt to do so. Yes.
So you're not using the gem. You're going to have sealant.
No, I am.
You are using it. Okay.
I'm sorry.
2d6 plus charisma, and you may add an additional +1 that's been handed to you by Eric.
Okay. And my charisma is +3, so that's going to be 2d6 +4, and that's a 9.
Okay.
Is a 9 good?
A 9 is a mixed success.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I have a bad feeling about this.
Okay, so you use the gem. As these orcs are coming towards you, now, they were mostly backing up towards you because there's a lot of wizards with fire-based spells and other fun things, and paladins and fighters with large shields and pointy swords, and trees. Did I mention the trees that just stepped out of the ground and are picking up ogres and throwing them? That's a thing? That's not supposed to be a thing, but that's a thing. So they're backing up towards you, and then a few of them in the back, which is closest to you, so I guess the front in your regard, turn and see you there.
Oh, no.
And you raise the gem and introduce them to conscription. And they decide that, you know what? They like your ideas and wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Oh, no.
And then suddenly there's more than just undead in the group. There's more than just undead orcs fighting the live orcs. There's also live orcs fighting the live orcs. But not all of them are turned. So some of them do rush forward towards you, because fresh meat. Apparently meat's back on the menu, boys. And Seelan steps forward to try to block. The empty cloak steps forward to try to block. The cloak is going to take some damage. Seelan is... The corpse that he's currently using becomes more of a corpse. And you are going to take... Oh, that's lower than before. You're going to take 6 points of damage. Personally.
Has my false life from the session before worn off yet?
And then some, yes.
Okay. All right. I will then remove the temporary hit points before I apply the damage.
Okay. So Seelan Ogre is gone. The empty cloak is still there, and you now have a bunch of live orcs that are trying to protect you.
All right.
Okay. And next up is Mazir.
You know, we said when we couldn't find Bryn that she was going to show up with friends.
Lo and behold,
the archers in the crowd, I know they're spread out, but is there like a concentration of them?
Not so much. It's more like they all have bows, and some of them find an opportunity to use a bow, and some of them find an opportunity to use a sword.
Gotcha.
Or club, or axe.
He's got a sword. You idiot. We've all got swords.
Except me. That's a knife. That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
Oh, so you've played Nautilus.
I wish I had before. Spoons.
I would have loved to have some spoons, but I didn't have the spoons to do my dishes this morning. because I was out of spoons. And this amused me that I didn't have the spoons to get my spoons clean. And so I spent a good half an hour thinking about that this morning. That's how my day went. But moving on.
Ulfgar's got wizards throwing like fireballs and such, right?
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of, but...
I didn't roll so well there.
Some directions, they're fireballs, but in other directions, they look and see, oh, wait, some of them are fighting trees. The other ones. Maybe we shouldn't be throwing fireballs at the trees that are helping us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's okay. We could use acid or cold or lightning.
We all know that if you hit it with an acid arrow, it will die next turn.
It will die next turn. Before next turn.
Yes, before it could take damage again.
All right. I am going to try and generate a +1 to hand off to Ulfgar.
Well, I'm going to give other options besides the +1, but let's see what you roll first.
Okay, because this is something that Mazir is doing. The trees are going to continue with their previous orders.
Okay, so what's Mazir doing?
Mazir is going to use Silent Image in front of the spellcasters. Image of I can never keep the terminology straight. Basically, to make it look like they've conjured a demon or a devil or whatever they are, that's the one throwing the fireballs.
Okay. So because that's obviously a deception, I'm going to say 2d6 plus your charisma.
Okie dokie. If sidekick responds. Here's sidekick.
Do we need to give sidekick a pep talk again? Come on, sidekick.
Possibly.
You can do it. We believe in you.
That's a 4 and a 6.
Okay. So
15.
A 15. Yes, that is definitely a success. So here are your options. You can give a +1 to a friend. You can do an additional point of damage compared to what you're already doing with what the trees are doing instead, if you prefer.
I'm going to give a +1 to Ulfgar because I am... The point of this is literally to... Oh, a 16 from Sidekick. Well, there you go. I'm going to give a +1 to Ulfgar because literally what I'm doing is trying to make his attacks more effective.
Alrighty. Ulfgar.
All right. I had some time to think about this. What we are also going to try to do, bring in the illusionists and start having them make a lot of similar kind of thing with what Mazir was doing, covering the survivors, making it look like they look like making it look like they're more that they are orcs, perhaps no not orcs dwarves. Let's make them look like dwarves to perhaps confuse the enemies. We're going to keep the evokers with the shield wall, and hopefully that turns out better. And I think we're also going to send the transmuters out and around to try to perhaps turn some of these things into other things that are perhaps less lethal.
Okay. So it looks like a lot of what you want to do is still deception. So
yes, we're trying to create more confusion.
Okay, so that's going to be not so much rolling with your intellect bonus, but rolling with your charisma. And then you get to add a +1 that Mazir handed you.
Well, that will be a +1 because Ulfgar has no charisma.
Oh, no.
I keep forgetting
that. You got to put the R in there.
Roll in there. Yep.
There we go.
All right, we got a 5.
Okay, so I've got some great news. That's our first failure.
That's not bad for as long as we
have three rounds. I've invented a device that makes you read this in my voice. Okay, so 2 to 6 on a roll is a failure. You don't get what you're after, and things may very well get worse. So I'm going to say the first thing that happens is when you try to disguise the survivors, which there are a few that you've gotten to at this point, as dwarves, it just turns out that the orcs were trying to kill everyone that wasn't an orc, and that includes dwarves.
Okay.
So you turned a target into a slightly shorter target. Or as was mentioned by Cindy in the mixer chat, I cast Make Them Short. which is very accurate at this point. So they swing low, and there's a sweet chariot that is totally destroyed. And there is a lot more damage that is done to various wizards as they're doing their thing, and you personally are going to be taking some damage at the same time, because that's how fate rules work, where during your move, good and bad happens. That is going to be 8 points of damage that you personally take.
Okay. I have marked it off.
Okay. And next up is going to be Eric. At this point, you've moved far enough that you've enveloped Bryn and her budding army of orc loyalists or rebels.
Okay.
Depends on who you decide is the main force. You've enveloped them into your group, and you are heading towards more survivors that the wizards are saying they're off in that direction over there.
Okay. It's time to not be in a war wall defensive, but we're going to go as a la carte killing, if you will. We'll just find basically any we're just protecting anybody who needs to be protected, and then we're just going to basically get you cushioning, but it's not going to be in a wall. We're just going to go, and everybody's going to be everybody, and I'm sure Jason can't wait to do this.
Okay. So Jason's going to drop his shield and pull out a two-hander and just go hog.
That's correct. Go to town.
Okay. So that is definitely going to be a strength roll. So 2d6 plus your strength.
Okay. Do I still have the plus one or no?
If you... no, that sticks around for one turn, so no.
Okay.
But then as a fighter, I'm not quite sure you're going to need it. A 9. Okay. 9 is a mix... Everyone keeps rolling 9s. A 9 is a mixed success. A 10 is a success. So everyone just keeps going right under the mark.
So you hear that sidekick? You better step up.
We've gone from pep talks to threatening. Okay.
Well, it's responding now.
All right. Well, in all seriousness, no, that's a lie. There is no seriousness. That too. The shield wall just breaks apart, and the various paladins and fighters that were in the Royal Guard, and Eric as well, are all running around, killing as many things as they can. Jason is spinning in circles and cutting things in half. But because you no longer have a shield wall, you have enabled it so that the opposing forces are also able to get behind you and around you, and this is causing a bit of a problem as well. So, you are, the damage is being done to multiple sides, but Eric, you in particular are going to take 12 points of damage.
Okay.
From someone who gets underneath your shield at the worst possible time.
Understand.
Okay. And that brings us back to Bryn.
Do I still have a bunch? How are the orcs I am conscripted doing?
There's fewer of them than when you started, but there's still enough that they are mostly protecting you.
Okay.
Fewer undead.
I'm going to continue to make poor decisions. But this time with the aim of specifically not conscripting as many as I can so much as trying to cause some confusion to spread in the orc ranks about whether they should be fighting the random people who are not orcs or, you know, also each other. Like, basically I want to try to pick out a few and charm them and cause chaos in their ranks.
Okay, so you're still using the gem then?
Yep, I am. I'm sorry.
Well, the DM is here for this content.
Yeah, but the rest of the party might not be.
The person behind the DM is going, no, Bryn, no. No, but the DM is like, okay, I see multiple plot hooks that can stem from this. This is interesting character development. I want to see where this goes. But the crash is going, no, Bryn. And I'm just standing here next to Ceiling going, no, why? Bryn, we've talked about this. Ceiling and I are eating out of the same bowl of popcorn as we're watching this. The suspense is killing us. So this is going to be 2d6 plus your charisma modifier.
Okay.
Arshbeth says Bryn has situational ethics.
She's not wrong. And okay. I think that's another mixed success.
Yes, an 8 is a mixed success. So you are able to use the gem on more orcs, not the ones that are surrounding you and laying down their lives to protect you, but the ones over there near that one orc that seems to be a leader. And you do cause a little bit of confusion. Those orcs that you charm next, for this particular mm-hmm. turn, they turn, and because of what you've done previously, the orc forces are beginning to wise up to what's taking place, and the ones that turn are almost immediately hacked down.
Ah.
Now, you have a bunch of warriors and paladins from Plantain nearby that's helping out a little bit as well. But as this is a mixed success, it becomes obvious to the orcish horde that these traitors in their midst seem to be doing this when you hold up that shiny.
Oh no, I've been spotted.
Yes. So one of the orcs that looks a bit bigger and tougher than the others, not a Tana Rook, but still looks a bit beefier than the rest, shoves one that's covered in an outfit that appears to mostly be made of bones on the shoulder and points at you.
Dear.
And that one points a hand at you and wiggles his fingers, kind of like, oh, he's standing in the back and wiggling his fingers at you. This never ends poorly. And
Spellcaster duel.
Yep, you are going to take 13 points of necronic damage.
Ow. Oof. Okay.
But you
I'm
were
not
able to do something.
Yet, but I'm getting close.
You were able to do something to the enemy, though. So even with a mixed success, I am marking off the damage. And there seem to be fewer things fighting against you than there were before, in part because you had the things fighting against you fighting against the things fighting against you.
All right.
You forgot the fighting against you.
So killing them reduced your gained numbers, but still reduced their numbers. Next up is going to be Mazir.
What? What? I heard my name. I'm here. Turn. I'm paying attention. okay. So the dwarves, the wizards turn people into dwarves, and that didn't do a whole lot.
No.
The shield wall is getting battered.
The shield wall is no more. The shield wall is now a bunch of pointy things going through the orcish ranks.
Ah.
Which, unfortunately, is leaving the wizards kind of exposed.
Somehow I missed that. Okay. The undead are continuing to hemorrhage a little bit.
There is a war of attrition, and they're attritioning a lot.
Well, I mean, it's the undead, so we sort of assume that.
Yeah.
And there's a guy who seems like he's in charge.
Yes.
All right. I am going to pull the trees back to reinforce the wizards. And I am going to... How far away from me is the guy who seems like he's in charge?
I would say maybe 100 feet. He's closer to Bryn than he is to you.
Interesting.
I don't want to get to him. I want to get something to him. I am going to cast darkness on the tip of a crossbow bolt.
Oh my gosh.
And fire it at him.
Okay. give me... Well, what is... So you already said what the trees are doing. They are backing up to...
Yes. The trees are reinforcing the wizards.
They're creating a forest wall.
Yes.
Where there once was a shield wall.
Right,
so
exactly.
Roll me to...
Leaving spacing for the spells to get through, but not for the orcs to get through.
Okay. So this is going to be a roll for their ability and yours as well. Give me... 2d6 plus your dex.
14.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to say. Well, obviously it's a success. You may do...
It's officially okay to me now that Millie used up all of the good d20 rolls.
Because I'm not having you roll d20. I'm doing kind of fate...
Right, exactly.
Ransacked fate rules for this. So you may choose to do more damage to the orcish horde with this. You may choose to give a +1 to an ally. You may also choose, if you want to provide additional shielding to an ally where if they take damage, they're not going to take as much.
Ooh, that's a hard choice.
I like giving hard choices.
I'm providing additional shielding to the wizards.
Okay. And your arrow flies through the air, and it hits the person who you've identified as the leader, or at least one of the leaders, at least a sub-chief, if not the chief, but they seem to be the one yelling a lot. And you know you've hit them because, well, you have the ability to see through darkness, even magical darkness. You also know that you haven't killed them because the darkness is moving.
Oh, I didn't want to kill them. I just wanted to screw with them.
It's stuck inside. The arrow hit.
The arrow hit. Now, he's not a good guy, but it hit him in his designated good guy area. So right. It's probably sticking out of like a shoulder or the upper arm or something.
The point being...
In his shoulder, yes. The point is in his shoulder.
I specifically cast it on the tip of the arrow. The metal tip of the... the bolt.
Oh.
So that if he snaps it off, or if he breaks it in half, the tip is what's enchanted.
Actually, hold up. Now, I'm thinking of older editions of D&D, but I think it's still true for the current one. Correct me if I'm wrong, but and I might have to rely on Matt, the rule book, because of his wonderful amount of knowledge for wizardry type things. If you cast light or darkness on something and you cover it up, does that hide its ability?
The spell does indeed get hidden.
Yeah.
If it's completely covered.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it will block. So, it will block. You can put a bowl, a simple bowl over top of the head, of, in this case, the bolt head, and that would do it.
Okay.
Oh, that's too bad.
Now, because nevertheless, you did roll a 14, which is much higher than what is needed for a success with no drawbacks. So I will say that you fire this bolt through the air. For the briefest of moments, the darkness goes away, and then it comes back because the bolt goes through the shoulder and out the other side. It's still stuck in his shoulder, and the tip is sticking out the back of his shoulder.
Ouch.
Through and through.
Yeah.
Please don't hair clean if you put it on fire.
He can't see without my permission. All right, I'm done.
Okay, Ulfgar.
All right, we've lost our shield wall. So what I want to do is take the evokers and...
Oh, but you've got a tree wall now.
Yes.
Oh, tree wall. Well, okay. We'll use the tree wall, but what I still want to make sure the evokers focus things that are not necessarily immediately bad for trees. We want to have them focus on things like psychic damage, radiant damage, basically not fire or cold, keeping them up, keeping their assault on the orcs. But switching energies to different, more tree-friendly energies, let's call it that. Less fire and lightning and cold and more radiant psychic, which don't bother trees so much.
Okay.
And for myself, what I've kind of been trying to coordinate all the wizards themselves, sending different spellcaster groups to different areas. I haven't really focused anything for himself directly. Kind of been trying to run around and play communicator. Where am I at now personally on the field?
The way my headcanon goes with this, among the wizards that are here, you are the one that did a stint in the army.
Yes.
So you're the one that understands military tactics. I mean, granted, you were mostly in the kitchen, but let's not talk about that. You're not necessarily you're not necessarily pointing that out to them as you're saying, So shore up this area over here. Guard that flank. By the way, I'm really just a cook. Oh, also, go over there.
Yeah. I'm a horrified cook.
Yeah, you're not pointing out that I really have no idea what I'm doing. I picked this up through osmosis, and we all know osmosis doesn't work in this situation. I slept with a book on military tactics.
You read some books here and there. So what I'm looking for is basically what I'm trying to find out is there some way I can assist somebody else personally at this point. I don't know what's around me, what's nearby.
Okay, so things that you see, Bryn seems to be starting to have a spellcaster duel with a particularly vile-looking orc that has questionable fashion sense. There is a sphere of darkness... thanks to Mazir, that you've never seen a sphere of darkness look angry. But you get the sense that it is furious. It perhaps would even like to rage.
Somewhere a small a gnome somewhere is gleefully happy.
Or just upset that he isn't here to join in the fray.
Yes. He is our tech.
The rest of the fight looks like it's starting to wind down is maybe the wrong word to use, but there seems to be fewer opponents in various places in this battle. Eric and the rest of the plantain forces are scattered throughout, just being chaotic murder factories.
Okay. I feel a sense of pride right now. I really do.
Then I'm going to personally, from his personal perspective, trying to keep an eye on Bryn and making sure if things start to turn sour for her, I'm going to try to use my arcane ward abilities to absorb any damage she might take.
Bryn, you're bloodied, right?
No, I'm just close.
Okay. So things look like
definitely
about
want to focus
sour.
On that then. Okay. Keeping her up and running. Because she's got the undead army on her side, and I think we're gonna keep to need those guys some more. So I'll definitely focus. I'll keep my efforts on trying to absorb any damage with my arcane protection ward to keep her up and alive. I can't heal, but I can stop damage.
Okay. Give me 2d6 plus your intelligence. Okay.
Yep.
I word for brain powers.
I think I'm gonna get this right for a change. Yes. 14.
14. Definitely a complete success. So the orc covered in bones is still throwing spells at Bryn, and suddenly a sphere of magical energy surrounds Bryn, and they bounce off.
Yay.
Oh, thank you.
Yay.
Ding, 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 ding.
It's like pinball.
Yep.
Although, because you are focusing on defensive, you're not doing as much damage to the opponents. But
that's okay. We're there, you did say that we're starting to wind down, right?
Well, if...
Or something.
If I counted the orc forces as a single force, which I kind of am, for the purposes of this, they are beyond bloodied.
Okay. Then I've been keeping us alive is a good thing, I think, at this point.
Every time there's been an unmitigated success... I'm marking off a certain amount of damage. Every time there's a mixed success, I mark off slightly less damage. But there is a total number that I'm going towards before I say, hey, they're done.
Right. And we've only had the one failure, really. My earlier three or five or whatever it was. So, okay, yes. All right. We got them on the roll, guys. We're good.
Absolutely made up for with the 14.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, it is certainly possible to mix success your way to failure because, for example, Bryn is almost bloodied, and she came into this battle a bit late. But it is what it is. So, Eric.
It's all right. I've got vampiric touch today.
Yes.
Did anyone else have a shiver just go up their spine?
Okay, so battlefield-wise...
If Ari were here, we'd be having a talk about your spell choices. It's Ulfgar. He doesn't care.
I'm not sure my spell choices are the choices that need work.
Valid.
Yeah, true.
How far is Mizzou away from me?
I'm going to roll. It turns out that you and Mizzou happen to be, by sheer coincidence, pretty close to each other. You are within one turn of movement from her.
Okay.
You haven't been attempting that. You've more been attempting to run forward towards the thing that you can slice in half, then slicing it half, and moving on to the next thing you can slice in half. And, hi, Mizzou.
And just a quick look around. I know we're kind of scattered. How are the rest of the ranks scattered? I'm trying to figure out if I need to call form up again.
Well, the wizards seem to be doing pretty good. They have the trees that stepped in after your rank scattered to pick up the slack for that.
Yes.
Bryn is a bit off to the side at this point with... not as many allies protecting her, but she's in a magical hamster ball for the next minute.
Okay.
So there's that going on for her.
So I'd like to send a small contingent of forces from Plantain over to Bryn, and then the rest of us, including my dad and Jason, are going to head toward where kind of form up around the trees and try and make sure that Mazir is, everybody's around, okay around Mazir.
Okay. Mazir is actually not near the trees.
Okay. Then we'll form up around where the line is. We'll make our own line around right in front of
I was going to say, if you want a line, you're going to have to make one because the line broke.
Yeah. We're going to get back into a line since we see it kind of going anywhere now.
Okay. Give me 2d6 plus. If you're trying to be more defensive, I'm going to say give me 2d6 plus your constitution. And that's a 13. All right.
We're either really succeeding or we're just barely not fully
failing.
Yeah. And if I sat down to revise this over and over again, I'd probably be changing a lot of things. But I like the idea of now that I'm going with just the ability modifiers, not the skill modifiers, there's some things where you could still fail, but the mixed successes are what have brought you down the most.
Yeah.
Because we've got Ulfgar is bloodied. I think Mazir is also bloodied, right? Yeah, beyond bloodied. Bryn is almost bloodied. So this is still a challenging fight.
I'm at 19 of 43.
Oh.
And with what I'm rolling for damage, it is possible that if you rolled a failure, you would be making death saves. That is a possible number for me to roll.
It's a lot of the battlefield is massive. So, I mean, I can see something like this happening.
Okay. But with that said,
unfortunate.
Sorry.
I was going to say it's unfortunate because I have an assassination target that only I can see.
Valid. So Eric is going defensive and with a 13, that is definitely a success. So you have a choice. You can either do more damage than you would normally do from being defensive. You can give a plus one to an ally, or you can give additional protection to an ally.
Let's give a more. This is crucial.
It's hard, isn't it?
Oh, man.
Keep Mazir safe.
Okay, we'll stay more defensive around Mazir.
Plotline wise, that makes sense because Mazir is bloodied, and you were right next to Mazir anyway.
Yep.
Okay. So moving up to Bryn.
So is the Sphere of Darkness still on the move?
Yes, and it does not seem to be moving along with the Orc Spellcaster. The Orc Spellcaster is still throwing things at you, probably thinking that if it throws enough, it can make your hamster ball pop.
Is the enemy Spellcaster sort of... What's the population density over there?
Thinning.
Because... All right, is the Sphere of Darkness headed towards us with, melee intent?
It seems to be moving somewhat randomly. Almost as if the person inside can't see where they're going and hasn't quite figured out that the darkness is from the crossbow bolt that's currently attached to it.
Okay, so I'm going to try to pinpoint some spot that where we have a vulnerability that enemies might want to come at us from, and I am going to put a sickening radiance there.
Okay, so kind of like setting out a trap that they're probably going to be running in that direction, so just try running through that. See how that goes.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, in that case, give me 2d6 plus your intellect. Intelligence. Okay. I keep using the wrong I word. Yeah. They're
That's
synonyms.
Fair, they mean the same thing. No, I do not need... I need 2d6, that's what I need. 6 plus 4.
Eight. Mixed success. All right.
Oh, no.
Okay. So here's what happens. You cast Sickening Radiance, and it does exactly what is written on the tin. Things get very sick there and start getting massive damage done to them, including the darkness goes through it and then goes down a few feet and stays still. At the same time, the spellcaster that's been trying to hit you sort of slaps their forehead and goes, "Oh, silly me. That's a magical sphere protecting her. I should be able to dispel that."
Oh, no.
And you are going to take 10 points of damage as the sphere goes...
What kind of damage?
It's going to be piercing in this
Never
case.
Mind, it doesn't matter. I don't... Whoa. Okay, 10 points of damage?
Yes.
All right, I now am bloodied.
Okay. But it turns out the cry of the orcish leader that happened to be the one that had darkness cast on them, as they go through the sickening radiance, along with a few of its lieutenants that were trying very hard to convince it that, hey, if you pause for a moment and let us pull that bolt out, we can do something about that and you can actually see where you're going. General, just no, hold still for just a sec. General, come on, help me help you. Well, yeah, they've all gone down in the sickening radiance also. And with the leader going down, the remaining survivors of this army that was feeling very confident at the beginning of this turn tail and flee.
Yay.
In the background, you hear the Plantain Army Band start to play the national anthem, which is the Final Fantasy victory song. The bagpipes are wonderful. Just saying.
I'm going to shove the gem back into a pocket and start looking around to see if there's still any trouble going on anywhere.
Most of the trouble... Sorry?
I was going to ask who specifically has been routed. The lieutenants and the commander, are they still there, being sick?
In one sense of the word, yes. If you want them to be active, you're going to have to give Seelan some time with them.
So they're down.
They're down.
Down hard.
Ooh, okay.
Down doobie doo down down.
I'll cancel the darkness then.
Shoot, I was hoping to fire some magic missiles at it.
Magic missiles.
I am here for this content. You should probably save those for the gazebo that's sneaking up behind you right now.
Yeah. Kill it!
Oh, no, it's fire. A mimic!
Wall of fire!
I have never had a gazebo be a mimic, but at some point I'm going to. Probably not with this group. I'll probably save it for my middle school campaign, because I'm trying to throw as many of the tropes in the game as possible at them, but we'll see how that
Fun
goes.
Fun part with newbies.
Oh, okay. Please tell me you're going to throw Vecna's head at them at some point.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh. I wasn't going to, no. But I need to add that to the list. Just this week, I told them about the Tarrasque. They didn't know about the Tarrasque yet. I didn't throw it at them. I simply told them that the Tarrasque exists. And I told them Tiamat exists. And I showed them images of both.
Okay.
The Tarrasque image, of course, was the one where it's tied to a hot air balloon. I know, right? Adorable.
So the commanders and the lieutenants are down.
Yes.
And I don't know why I'm continuing to use that euphemism. and everybody else who's not under our control is fleeing. Is that right?
Yes. There's a few orc survivors that are from the camp that the wizards were able to scry and protect that in the vicinity.
Right.
Bryn, there are currently 3 orcs left that are willing to do whatever you ask them to do. But the remainder of the ones you've charmed were killed in battle. And there is half of a zombie, specifically the top half, that is nearby you, and it's sort of propped itself up. And it says in Seelan's voice, "Bryn, we really need to talk."
I understand.
Ansel, thank you for all of your help.
No problem. Although, we need to meet on occasions that are a lot less murdery death, or we just took over a city by accident.
Yeah, let's have dinner sometime. Having a dinner.
That would be good. And also, no more taking over a city by accident. That was...
I did not intend to do that. All I wanted to do... someone else killed the city council.
You stepped out onto the front doorstep of the city council chambers and announced that your country was taking over Sandstone to everyone who was there.
But- Well, yeah, because otherwise there would have been a terrifying power vacuum in the face of a Kraken invasion.
Okay, valid.
I didn't intend for it to be permanent. I just wanted someone to set up a new city council.
Yes, and one has been set up. We did set one up. That has happened. But still, okay, so you spent a lot of time not learning about government and how to run one. So I get that. But we might, I might have to give you a refresher course, like an advanced study program on tact and politics.
I can do tact.
We're going to have a discussion on that.
I did. Just because I don't do tact doesn't mean I can't do tact. But given our current distance, let's make it a correspondence course.
That's okay. I've got plenty of spell slots for messages and setting. This is a thing that can be accomplished.
I do appreciate your help here.
Switching over to Ulfgar.
Yeah.
I'm not letting any conversation finish. This is fine. switching over to Ulfgar, you're getting a much different reaction from the wizards that have accompanied you. Some of them took injuries, but the vast majority of them feel invigorated. They spend all their time in books reading about battles. They fought one. Yep. My word, this was fantastic. Let's do this again sometime. Did you see the range of that fireball? It was spectacular.
Excellent work, boys. We must do this again sometime. I will definitely keep you guys in mind for, God forbid, we ever have such a mass war-type situation again.
Imagine, if you will, the Rough Riders.
Yes, that's what I'm picturing. He's Teddy Roosevelt. I'm not as tall.
You are getting plenty of slaps on your back and shoulders, and there's a bunch of high fives that are going on.
And this is not, you got all these skinny wizard types running around doing this, and I can see the shield wall army being like, what do they do? Look
at two of the nerdiest wizards, one of whom is 80 years old if they're a day, and they're a human, so that's 80 years old is a lot for them. Attempt to like jump up the air and bounce their chests off of each other, but they miss.
Oh, no.
And they just fall on the ground laughing. At some point, the adrenaline rush is going to wear off on them.
Yep.
And they're...
I say, this was definitely the shizzle.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I am upset with you. I mean, I can't control this grin on my face, but I'm still upset with you.
I agree, homie.
Oh, no.
One of the warriors from Plan 10 comes over and says, excuse me, just so you know, please never say that again. What you just said, don't say it.
Don't do that anymore.
Just don't do that again. That's not a thing you should do.
It was a righteous battle, though, son?
Indeed it was. You'll tell your grandchildren about it as soon as you get home. And the others, well, they'll tell their grandchildren when they have some.
meanwhile, Eric, your dad comes over and puts a hand on your shoulder and says, you all right?
Yes. Who have we lost?
He gives you a few names, several of which you don't recognize at all. About 15 names on the list that were lost.
Well, we need to make sure we give them a...
You cut out there.
As paladins, or I'm a warrior, but father's a paladin. The tradition of burial in warriors in Plantain is very, very, very honored and very special. It's something that's done almost immediately after battle, and that includes every other person, whether it be mage or tree. We might burn the trees, but you know what I mean. Make sure that they're all honored for their sacrifice. That's a huge thing in Plantain.
Okay. As it turns out, the first cantrip that Ansel ever learned was Mold Earth. So when the Royal Guard start breaking out the camp shovels in order to do what they need to do, Ansel comes over and helps. And awesome. things things get done a lot faster, and they end up feeling like, okay, so this work that we're putting forward is to honor our fallen comrades and to show, like, it's not so much for them, it's for us. We know we're doing this to honor their memories. And the whole stuff already. I moved two shovelfuls of earth, and the hole's dug. On one hand, thank you, but I'll dig the next one. It's dug. You dug it in the time it took me to say thank you.
Well, since we're not used to having so many magic users that aren't warlocks, I think we'll be.
I mean, valid.
This isn't a bad thing per se.
Yeah,
it's like being asked to be the pallbearer and like, oh no, don't worry, the coffin can levitate.
Yeah.
All right. So we have actually been recording for over 2 hours at this point. So
let's make it three. It's big campaign. You threw us in an epic battle.
I know, right?
Awesome. Yeah, this is. We went from D&D to D&D tactics.
That's right. It's wonderful.
with a surprise Bryn partway through.
Right.
I'm okay with this content.
As this always, we are. Yeah. No, this was great.
Okay.
This was great. I appreciate the chance to make forward. More decisions.
So that's a quote.
So listen, the 5 o'clock campaign, the 5 o'clock group, they had a fight. They did a bunch of stuff. They got a long rest. Probably they're going to go up a level before the next time they play. Is that right?
Everyone's going up a level before the next time you play.
Okay. But we didn't get a long rest, and we killed, like, lots of orcs.
How many levels are we going up? With a lot of help. And I will tell you that Ansel is not level 8.
No. I'm sure we have a couple of the wizards we brought along were not level 8 either.
No, they weren't.
He said 5 years to get ahead of me.
Yeah.
He was ahead of you when you met him. He was part of the original campaign, and 10 years went by. Now, granted, he was level 1 when he was first met. Then 10 years passed. Then another 5. I assure you.
I can't be responsible. Can't be responsible for other campaigns that he was. All I'm saying is because of decisions that we made, a lot of orcs died. So
I don't have a problem
how many levels are we going?
Well, I have to divide the XP earned by the number of participants.
Eight, nine levels.
I need to divide the XP earned from the kills by the number of participants. And there were
that's going to need a lot of math.
Yeah, there were two full armies that were helping. Plus all the orcs that got turned, plus the zombies, they get XP. Seelin went up a level. like part of the battle, you just heard a random zombie go ding. I gained a spell slot. Ooh, I didn't know that was on the list. Nice. That's not canon. But let's wrap this up. Thank you everyone for playing. Thank you everyone for listening. Tonight's been awesome. Tonight I have been joined by Ellie and Eric and Io and Matt. I didn't say Ulfgar this time. Wait, I just did.
Yay!
We also had Archbeth and Jen and Cindy hanging out. Jen's been live tooting on Mastodon, the various out-of-context quotes. So I'm going to have to go back and read those. I just saw that she was posting a few of them, but I didn't read all of them. Let's do some plugs. So, first
120 off, volt. Ethernet. Serial.
USB.
It's actually USB-C, so Io was closest.
All right.
Ellie has a social media.
Io was closest without going over.
Yes. So, unfortunately, they were not the next contestant on The Price is Right, so they do not get the boat, unfortunately.
They only get a smaller dinghy. Anyway, I have a social media network at elekk.xyz. It has invite-only membership right now, but you can send me a note to get an invite.
And if you're already on a Mastodon instance, it's a Mastodon instance.
Then you don't need one.
Yeah. you can still follow us. Those of us who have Mastodon accounts, that information is in the cast page, and the link to that is in the show notes. Eric has a stream, twitch.tv/untamedsin.
Disco Elysium has been streaming. Yep. Whoop, whoop.
Yes, everybody disco now. It's not dead. Eos, mom, writes books. You can get those at elizabeth-mccoy.com.
Elizabeth-mccoy.com.
Yes. And we have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. Help us keep the lights on. If you are a patron, you should, in theory, if I've done it right, have access to episodes that I've edited and uploaded, but haven't gone live on the website yet because I have an insane buffer. This episode is actually going to go live in, I think, April. So if you're hearing this, like, the backlog is there. And go ahead and get it early.
If you're listening live, you can go and meet Eo and Beth at Arisia. And if you're not listening live, what's the matter with you?
I agree.
But we're not showing pictures of them, so you're just going to have to go up to every random person and say, are you Eo? No. Okay. Are you Eo?
Exactly.
No. Okay. Are you Eo?
It's easier, it's easier to hold up a sign that says Eo and Beth.
You will have no problem finding them because they are super cool.
It's true. They're the coolest people on the floor. Yeah, so look for the coolest people on the floor, and you'll probably find them. If you don't, you weren't looking at the coolest people on the floor. You have misjudged the cool of the people on the floor.
How okay. You need a radiant meter just because they radiate coolness.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. We need a cool
to make me blush.
You got to have a cougar counter.
Cougar.
Oh no.
Okay, so I think it's time to end the stream. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And until next time, this is Crash saying
good night.
See ya. We really need to stop meeting like this.
No. But we actually, we need to keep meeting like this more often if we're talking to the listeners of the podcast.
That's right.
Well, that too. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.